and I know that before the service is not always on the internet, and this didn't necessarily need to be on it, I just wanted to give a praise report, because about an hour ago, Lucas pulled a dresser down on himself, and he was pinned between the dresser and the baseboard of his bed, and it was such a heavy dresser that I couldn't even barely get it off him, and all he has is a scrape on his back, and I just want to thank God for protecting my son. He just does so much for us, and I'm just always so thankful. And in 2 days, Lily's going to be one. I just think back how far God's brought her. She couldn't even breathe when she was born. She went the first 3 minutes of her life without any oxygen. She's perfectly fine, and God's just done so much for me. I didn't want to ever not give him the praise.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, church.
Amen.
Practically every Sunday morning, I had to take the pulpit for number of 40 years.
Right.
They was looking for me to come in here, take the pulpit. Right. Right, Brother Moore?
Right.
They felt they had nobody to take the pulpit
but
me. Even though they had Brother Moore eventually, but very seldom that he took the pulpit on Sunday.
Right.
On Sunday, it was mine.
Yeah.
Did I back off? Not a bit. Did I say where God's at? In me.
Amen.
Now, a lot of the brothers didn't like it, you know that. But it didn't bother me. Parnell, great man. He never wanted a pulpit on Sunday. He thought I should have it. He said, Brother Childers, if you hadn't told nobody, they thought you had a college degree. That's what he said right here. I said, I got the 9th grade. He said, wouldn't have known it. Wouldn't have known it. Did it make you nervous? Not really.
Amen.
When I got behind the pulpit, I expected God to talk.
Amen. Amen.
Why
Amen.
Get nervous when you know God's going to talk? And I wouldn't drive. Tommy said, Brother Childers, I'll drive you to Kentucky anytime you want to go. I'll be the chauffeur. Finally said, Sandy said she'd go with us. What said? Said, you don't have to tell nobody your business. Well, I said, I have none. It's all God.
Right.
And Tommy would get up and really, because he was kind of legalist in his thinking. See, I never was legal. I wasn't raised that way. When I hit the pulpit, I let God. God was done the talking.
Amen, that's right.
And my wife, first wife, she was 67 years old when she died. And I thought she'd outlive me because her whole family lives up in 90-some. I thought my wife will live to be 90-some. Well, come to think of it, she didn't make it. She said, I'd rather hear the Earl preach.
Right.
And y'all know that. And you know, I thought, I can't see how that girl can say that. But she'd say it in a minute. It wasn't no kiss work or life. She'd get up back there. She said, I'd rather the Earl preach anybody. She said, Santa Dehart said he ain't a preacher. See, he just talks. That's what he's saying. And I know it'd get back to him. And he didn't like it, but that was her feeling, that Shannon wasn't a preacher. And, you know, at General Motors, when I worked at General Motors, and they probably, in my department, had a good-sized department, they probably was, oh, I'd say 20 or more preachers in my department. You know what my general foreman say? They ain't but one in here for a preacher. I said, you're going to make these guys real jealous of me. They going to give me... He said, I can't help it. He said, you're the only preacher we got in here. And you could tell on the weekends he would get drunk. He'd come in all red-eyed, just red-eyed as he could be. He'd say, how you doing, preacher? I said, all right, kid, well. And them guys would say, they ain't got no other preachers. Said, I don't know one. He said, they'll bet on ball games, they'll bet on this, they'll bet on that. He said, you don't want a preacher of what we got. Well, you know what? I kind of accepted that. I really did, I thought. He ain't going to change. And none of the rest of my supervisor, he didn't say much to me. But Brother Moore, when it come time for him to tell what he thought, he said, I'm like Kidwell. The only one we got in here is you. Him a supervisor over the whole department. And he meant that. They said, call Brother Childers to the office. So I'm getting a lot of kickback. And my supervisor said that. So I'm getting a lot of kickbacks. So they don't like him at all. They call me to the office and ask me what I believe about everything. He said, you want the foreman's job? I said, don't want it. He said, Brother Chillers, they like you. I said, yeah, until I get in that position. I said, they'll like me until I get in that position. When I get in there, they won't speak so well of me. And I never took it. I was offered it by the highest up. They'll say, we'll send you to school. We'll do this. We'll do that. I said, boys, just leave me alone. I'm all right the way it is.
Amen.
And you know what? in a way, I hadn't looked around pretty hard to find a man that would even tempt to match me, Brother Moore. They just, well, you don't have many preachers today. You have a lot of claim they're preachers, but really be the preacher. You know what they tell me? I had a class, and you know in there, you don't supposed to have a class on the company's time, especially on the company's time. They say, Brother Childers, sit right over there. There'll be nobody bother you. Said you have a class, say what you want, and nobody will mess with you. And boy, they didn't like that, Brother Moore. But I thought, well, now I probably had 20 or 30, maybe more in my class. I had Mike Severs over here, was pastor of that church. He didn't even want it. I told Mike, Mike, do you want it? He said, no, Brother Shores. They wouldn't have me. Said, you got it all sold out. Said, you're the only man they believe. This is Mike Severs. And I thought, well, now, if you think I'm all wrong, and he had Brother Price believing that I was off my rockers, I said, you fellas want it? I said, no. I said, I couldn't even handle it. I said, you take it like it's nothing. And I believe a man should. If he believes he's got it, act like it.
Amen.
That's the way I believe. I believe if I got it, when I hit the pulpit, I act like it. Don's sitting on me. Ted's sitting on me. They never heard me whine. Not one time. Is that right, Don? Never heard me whine. When I hit the pulpit, I walked back and forth. Step off in here. I talked. And they thought, how would you like to have a pulpit for 40 years or better? For 40 years, then they'd say, who's going to take it? I come in here on one Wednesday night, I believe it was. I said, Brother Moore, you got it. He said, got what? He said, you ain't going to let me have it. Now, I didn't think you'd let me have it till you went to glory. I said, you got it right now. Oh, they all looked around. Some of them wanted to cry. I said, you got it. I never claimed it again. Is that right, Brother Moore? When they thought I was just playing, or it got too rough, I said, Brother Moore, you got it. He's had it ever since. And you know what he said? Brother Childers, I'll never ask you to preach one time. I'll never ask you to the pulpit. And you know how many times I preached? Very few. And he didn't even ask me at that time. God told me to take it. They don't even know what it is. I was the only one that God would back up. And I believe that with all of my heart. Out of the 20, 30 preachers, God was just like some of the rest of them. The only preacher I got is you. I had to go to eat in the cafeteria. A lot of these preachers would tag along after me. We'd be walking down the aisle. And they said, they called and said, here comes the preacher. You know what they say? They speak out, we ain't got but one. Now you talk about being in trouble when the preachers heard you say, we ain't got but one. Said that all the time, Brother Moore. And you know, I found out they meant it. Been on ball games. Been on this. Been on that. I never been on a ball game. I don't even hardly know how to, you know, get in one. Only thing I'd bet on was Jesus. It's amazing. I'd go to Dove's, and anybody went with me at Dove's, they preachers, probably 50, eat there on Sunday. My wife would watch them. Come in, won't you, Brother Moore? She said, they're not preachers. Said, I don't even like to hear them. Well, you know, that gets you in trouble. Especially if you're a preacher and your wife talking like that. You're in trouble. She said, there ain't none. Said, I don't even like to hear them. I think, my goodness, honey, you're going to get me in serious trouble. She said, I mean it. Said, here comes another one. She'd watch him come through the door. Said, here comes another one. And this is what I live, Brother Moore. 40 years. Your wife said, there ain't none. And you know how she talked. She had a rough voice, and she let you know that she meant it. Said, there ain't none. Said, you're the only preacher. I said, honey, you don't need to say that. She said, I have to say it. I don't even like to hear them, she said. What can you do with a woman like that? And walk in there. You know, I took highs, 100. Take him in there and say, get in line. I'd feed the highs 100 or more. Take them from this church. They'd be from out of town, different places. I said, Brother Children, you feeding them all? They knew me. I said, put them all on my bill. Feed them all. Doves, they thought a lot of me. And they made good pies. And I didn't like to eat a pie every meal. But my wife and Sandy would want a pie every meal. They had to have a pie, sweet. And they'd say, honey, get you a pie. Sandy was the same way. Sandy had to have a pie. get me on them. I eat pies, but I try to get out of them because too much sweet. Special way doves make them. You're going to have a triple table. All different kind of pies. And if you love sweets, and I love sweets, you'd wade in on them pies. Well, I'm just saying it like this. I was the only preacher. And they made me almost accept that, Brother Moore, till you come. And I went out of the preaching business. You know that. Very seldom that I preach. Very seldom. That man took the pulpit. And he just about had it every Sunday. Very few Sundays. Nobody else wanted it. I didn't want it. I said, no, you got it, brother. And Brother Moore has been a real good speaker.
Amen.
And he's had Jeremiah. He's had another good backup.
Yeah.
You all know that.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how many times a month I don't know what I ever preached once a month. A lot of time I might preach every 2 or 3 months. And God laid on my heart then, Brother Moore. I never said I wanted it till God said, take it. Y'all know that. I never said it. I wanted it when God said, take the pulpit. The day, you know what I've done? I take it. And God would bless. And Brother Moore about the same way. Brother Moore not asking for the pulpit every Sunday. If he did, I'd get on him. I don't believe a preacher, and especially a pastor, should feel like he's the only man who can preach on. That's almost a rebuke. And I would get disturbed. If God didn't ask me to preach, I'd almost had it every Sunday in a way. And that's the way they are with you. And it's not as you think you're the only one. And that's what I would get. They'd say, Brother Shelter preaches all the time. Well, there's nobody else wanted it. Nobody else wanted it.
That's the truth.
I never thought that I come in here and preach without a message. That's like a gift to a real preacher. He'll take it. And knowing God's going to say something. That's what makes it so real. When you know God's going to speak. I've never preached since Brother Moore had it. Unless God told me, take the pulpit. Not to say Brother Moore. I want the pulpit today. Worship. You got it. That's the way it works. When you think you're the only man who can preach, God can use you. I believe that. Now, there come time, it looks like that. But it's not God's fault. You just run out of something to say. So,
amen.
I'm telling you, I'll be a preacher on the other side. Now, I believe that. I believe that I have a message that will wake people up. Gifted. I'm a gifted preacher.
Amen.
And boy, them preachers didn't like that. Gifted preacher. I dare them to say I was the only preacher. I dare them to say that. I would get in serious trouble. I said, anybody wants it? No woman, nobody wants it. Brother Moore come in here. And he looked around. He thought, Brother Church's the only man. And I never run out of something to say. Brother Moore, you know that's the truth. I was long-winded. I'd preach for 2 hours or longer. Y'all know that. When I preached over the hill, they almost had set me down 3 hours. I preached hard as I could preach. And God bless. Brother Moore, I'm going to say this and shut up. I enjoy you. I want you to know it. You got a message. I've never seen you run without a message. Now that's a truth. Puts me in the mind of myself. I said, Brother Moore, he's got a message. I never see him really anxious, take a pulpit, and don't have nothing to say. I believe when we take the pulpit, we should have something to say. So, God bless you. And I believe Brother Moore has always got something to say. If he don't, ask Jeremiah. Well, I've preached in my time. There ain't a man in here. And I'm going to say that to close this off, to get this off my back. There'll never be a man out preach me in my younger days. Not now. You know what? I don't even call myself a preacher now. But in my younger days, I always was loaded. Always had something to say. And I wondered why these ministers didn't have nothing to say. When Brother Moore first got it, he was slow taking off. He don't care me saying that. He was slow taking off. But when he got started, I thought, you ain't going to shut that man up. That man has run into something. He's got a hold of something.
Amen.
And you know what? God has added to his ministry.
Amen.
Now, y'all got something to say? And you want to rebuke me and think I'm taking too much on myself over the years? Go ahead and talk. I just don't believe there's anybody in here could slow me up. That's the way I believe it. And I thought, if God wants me to preach and nobody else got nothing to say, I'm going to take the pulpit. I'm going to look bad if that's what you want to say. But if it takes me taking the pulpit every Sunday, you will see me in the pulpit every Sunday. Not as I want it. I'm like my wife. There ain't many I care anything about. And I doubt the life of my wife. Somebody said the other day, said, you know, your wife has been gone 20 years. I said, somebody told me that other day. 20 years, my first wife went home. Sandy come in, 13 years. Sandy was with me. And Sandy called me by her bedside out there at the big house just a few days before she went home. She said, well, Brother Church, would you come over here by my bed? She got where she couldn't get up by herself. She said, would you come over here by my bedside? I said, I sure will. She said, I got something to say. I got something to tell you. She started talking. I said, say on. She said, I'm going to tell you, I first thought that you just got me to use me. That's what she said, Brother Moore. Said, I thought that you just got me to use me. But said, the Lord showed me different and showed me that you really love me. I said, sure enough. He said, yeah. Said, I believe that you absolutely love me. I said, you're right, Sandy. I want you to know it. I love you, and God knows I love you. Amen. So she said, I've been with you all of this time and thought I was going to outlive you and I was going to take you home. But she said, I'm going home in a few days. In a few days, she went home. I'm still here, Brother Moore. And I don't know how much longer. I pray that God don't make it long. Because I'm getting tired, Brother Moore. I really am. You say, do you get tired? You'll find that out. If you live long enough and preach hard like I preached, you'll find it out. You'll want to go home. I'm coming to a place that, brothers, I want to go home. And I ain't said that very much. I don't talk like that. But the truth is, when God says, I'm about done with you, don't try talking out of it. Don't try talking out of it. It got to be hard to talk out of if he's ready for you to go. So, Brother Moore, pray for me. I don't care what I'll ever preach again. If God wants me to preach, naturally, I'm not a man to back out. But I don't have no desire, Brother Moore, to ever take the pulpit again. But if God says take it, you know where I'll be? Right in that pulpit. Whining. Making some kind of noise. I'll make a attempt. I'll make a attempt to preach. So God bless you. You're looking at a man that's giving his best. And I don't believe, and I say this with all sincerity, never being a man to boast and to think I'm the only one that can preach. But God's almost made me believe that at times when I just listen at some of them and look around, I'd say, ain't we got no other preacher? And I never turned it down. I crawled in that pulpit and talked. And I, God's always given me something to say. God bless you. I love you all. I've been your pastor a long time. I've been a man that's had more to say than anybody. I have to say that, brothers. In times past, I couldn't give up. I had something to say that God wanted me to say it. And I thought, if he wants me to say it, I'll say it. And I'll shut everybody else up to say it. God bless you.
Amen. Sing a song here in the good book of J. It's going to be page 67. I want to know more in the choruses.
I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. someday, somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I do now. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight amongst believers. Appreciate everything Brother Childers had to say, and appreciate everything we get here. Can hear. Real fast, by way of announcements, we have on the 21st at 7, they're going to be going to a church as a field trip. If anybody's wanting to go or available, we've been invited to a church in Springboro. So there's an address back there. But on Saturday at 7 o'clock is when the services start. I know Pastor Moore's going. I've heard some other people say that they're going to go. But that's on the 21st at 7 o'clock. And then on the 27th at 7 p.m., we're going to be at Brother Jeremiah's house for a fall party. So we like to make sure we're all aware of what's coming up and be able to plan appropriately for it. So, speaking of things that are coming up, Brother Jeremiah preached the last couple of services about things that are to be, and sequence of events, and it's really been an eye opener to me to see the ministry that we have here, slow down and type things out and document it and show the scriptures and where it all lines up, and we're hitting one little section at a time, and it just makes sense why Brother Childers could preach 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. It makes sense. He has so much. We're breaking down 30-minute segments of a service or of a series, and that's a whole service. And he would have to talk to somebody that, in here we know Brother Branham was a prophet. So that's nothing that we have to talk. Like, I don't have to get you to believe that. You know that. In here we know that predestination. In here we know these things. But when he would go places, he was talking to people that had no clue about anything. So every service was from the beginning of the time to bringing them current day.
Jay,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I believe you could ask some of these brothers in here, Brother Don, Brother Ted, Brother Moore later. Ask some of the brothers how long when I take the pulpit. And never, what they said? Never repeat it. One time.
Right.
Now that's a strong statement. It's hard to beat him by that. It really is. But last Don, Ted, them brothers been here a long time. When I'd step over the hill in that pulpit, highest 3 hours. And never, they say, never repeated myself one time. I didn't think that was possible. Really, Brother Moore, but you brothers is following in line. But you're talking to brothers that sat and listened to me 3 hours. Bang, bang, bang. It's almost impossible for a man to do that and never repeat himself.
Right.
Now, that's the truth. I could tell you fellas that. You got to be gifted or you'll run out of something to say. I'm just wanting you to know that. If you don't believe that, ask some of the brothers that sat in honor of me. Why, even Jeremiah's little boy, he can remember when I didn't know enough to shut up. I mean, one of them was just a baby boy. He growed up. He's my brother George. Preach. My wife told Surrey that lived across the street. She said, where do you get all that good preaching? Said, I turned my radio on. I can't find it. Why, she said, that's my husband. That's Brother Earl. She said, that's the best preaching I've ever heard. And I have turned my radio on every way, and I couldn't find it. And said, you mean that's your husband? Lived across the street. She'd walk down the driveway and get her mail. If I'd meet her, she'd stop me and talk to me. Old lady, she's gone now. Went to glory. She said, I never heard a man, Brother Childress, preach like you preach. Why, she said, that's Earl all by himself. Said he don't have nobody but himself. And she said, preach like that. She said, preach like that. So I'm saying, Don, if they need a witness, give them one. Ted?
Yeah.
You got him?
Yeah.
Well, let's turn Jay loose. Ain't that something? They got all the tapes back there. You don't believe. I didn't know you had all the tapes. I thought you'd done away with some.
Some messages from you, Brother Childress, as well. So we're loaded with what you have. We are all witness. You know, we've all been able to hear it.
Brother Moore, do you know a man that has preached like I preached in my younger days? I'm talking like a house on fire, and couldn't get nobody hard to take the pulpit every Sunday. Yeah. Brother Moore knows.
Yes. Absolutely.
He's been here since the 80s, son. 1980. Now, we ain't just talking. You dig up all the preachers you want. You won't find them like this. No, you won't find them like this. They just ain't out there. Get up and whine around. Ain't got nothing to say. God bless Brother Spencer. He'd say, now he's my long time preacher. He was with me before the boys was. And back me up. Then he end up didn't have nothing to say. He thought he did, but he run out. I've been still preaching, and they put him in the grave. He's been gone for a long time. He'd say, Brother Children, don't you think somebody else can preach? Well, I said, they sure don't act like it. The reason I say that, brothers, we're talking scripture, backing up, preach for 2 or 3 hours, scripture. After scripture, you think, how in the world that man finds so much? And I look around and I said, where they at? And Brother Moore, I know you just about say that. They think they're around. They think they
But when you look, you say, where are they at? They're not around, Jay. We're 10.
Amen.
We're 10.
Amen.
And you know, I could have kept the pulpit and still would have had something to say. But the Lord didn't want it that way. He wanted you all to say something. And I believe that. He'd say, Brother Childers, you're tired. You don't need to do it all. I got some talkers now. I got somebody else can say it. I said, Lord, let them have it. And God told me, said, let Brother Moore have it. I didn't stutter, did I? I said, Brother Moore, come back in here on Wednesday night. I said, you got it. Brother Moore didn't gonna believe it. I said, what? I said, you're the pastor. He couldn't hardly believe it, but he does now. And he sees why. God bless you, Jay. Preach to us.
Yes, sir. I will do it. I'll do what you ask. Preach. It's good to be here. It is good to be here, Brother Childers. Appreciate you. And I'm going to get into this. You know, the song we even sang was, you know, I Want to Know More about that body. You know, and Brother Childers even alluded to it. He said, you know, he would come to church knowing that God was going to speak. And he'd say, well, why would I be nervous knowing that he's going to take over? He always takes over. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, you're right, Lord. I was nervous. I was like, well, what am I going to say? But we get refilled here every time. I can't run out because this thing is an edifying thing. This body is edifying itself. Your testimony sparks something. A song will spark something. Another service will spark something. So it just keeps feeding on top of itself. In Brother Childers' situation, he had to feed himself. I ain't got to do that now. We're at the end. We're at the end of this thing, so we got some help. So, you know, so when Brother Jeremiah was preaching, he mentioned something that, you know, that I'm going to dive into a little bit. And you know, a little bit's for purpose of the internet, a little bit. But a lot of it's for us, you know, mainly. I'm only obligated to be in this church. You know, if somebody else outside of the church doesn't understand, it's not my job to make sure that they understand it in that sense. You know, and here, this is where I'm called to. This is my local assembly. This is where my bread is buttered. Here's where I want to make sure the rent's paid. So, but I was looking at it, and I said, but he mentioned something. So I'm going to read a scripture, and then we're going to go into it. So we'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He goes on to say, for in this we groan. In this house, this is what had my mind going. This is called a house. This is called a building that God's dwelling in. But he says, but when if this one is dissolved, I have another house, another building that wasn't made by man's hands. And when they say made by man's hands, he's saying a man and a woman's hands created this house, so to speak. This is how this got formed up. But there is another house waiting for me. So what does that mean, Brother Jay? That means when I get to heaven, I won't be a spirit. That means when I get over there, I will be in a tabernacle that is not made by man's hands. But so, and I look at this, because sometimes we're guilty of over-spiritualizing everything. That's what happens to other preachers that don't have anything to say. They start making up stuff about what it could be. No, I don't have to make it up. The scripture says I will be in a house, and I believe God, just like he said, I'll be in a house right here, and he dwells with me. When I get there, it'll be God all in that house. That means I will have a body in heaven to dwell in. I said, oh, my. Now, when we get there, because sometimes when we hear things like, and Brother Jeremiah made mention of it, he talked about Moses and Elijah coming back. Then he talked about how the prophet, that people have over-spiritualized that they didn't believe it was Moses and Elijah. They tried to over-spiritualize it that it would be Moses-like and Elijah-like. No, it will be literally Moses and Elijah. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't try to make this thing complicated. Don't get too smart. When you get to heaven, you will literally be in a body that can eat. I said, oh my. So Brother Jeremiah's comment, he mentioned, he said, we will eat and drink at the wedding supper.
Right.
He said he wants to have such a good time, he don't even want to remember what was served.
Right.
And that got my mind thinking. I said, eat and drink at the wedding supper? Well, is there reason to believe that this is the case? Is there some precedent to set that says that that is what's going to happen? We are going to eat and drink at the wedding supper?
Amen.
There will be a literal meal for us to eat. We will have bodies to do this. Brother Branham used to think that we would be like clouds floating off somewhere. That's what he used to think. So over in this, who is this Melchizedek? He says, see, we have passed that to come straight from God, the attribute to be the flesh, to be the flesh. We bypassed our glorified bodies. That means there's a such thing as a glorified body. He said to be tempted. And even in the services, I didn't even, that's why I'm so excited about what we're getting breaking down, because it's making all these other things line up for me. You know, and they might have lined up for you, but they line up for me now, so I'm excited about it. But when Brother Jeremiah was talking about, he had that the chain of circumstances, he said to be tempted. We were tempted. That was a change of circumstances. Our flesh body has the ability to be tempted, and that's the only reason why we can be tempted.
Right.
It's because of the house that we're in. In another house, I can't be tempted.
Right.
That's how Satan will be bound 1,000 years, because I'll be in a different house. He will be bound by those chains of circumstances that only apply to this body. My goodness. He said, to be flesh, to be tempted, to be tested by sin, like Adam did. But when testing of his word is over, then we are taken up to his body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Another body. I have to go somewhere else. And I look at these things and they're lining up, and it's like, I, you know, when Brother Branham was able to go behind that curtain of time, he got to see the bodies. He's got to see how it was. Brother Branham said he hugged somebody. Hugged somebody. You don't hug spirits. You don't, a rocking chair is not a spirit. A horse is not a spirit. A coat is not a spirit. There's literal things over there to look forward to. When we talk about looking forward to singles events, I'm looking forward to heaven. That's where I'm going. So that's, I get excited when I hear more about it. When you tell me more about my body that I'm going to get, I get excited about it. You know, Brother Jeremiah made mention, he said, we can build mansions over there.
Right.
Oh, my people, I'm looking at this, I go, we've over-spiritualized heaven so much that we have made ourselves think it was like a cloud. They were just going to float off and do nothing. I'm going to be in a body over there. That's something somebody else can't say. I'm going to eat food over there. That's something somebody else can't say. I'm going to drink communion over there. That's something everybody else wants to over-spiritualize. Somebody wants to push away. That's why they don't do communion in church like it anymore. That's one of the reasons. They've thought that they don't need it. But he said, do this until I return. Until I return, and then I will do this with you. Because why I was so excited that we're dwelling in bodies. Because it just makes so much sense with God's eternal plan. His entire plan was to never dwell alone. So if you know that's what his entire plan was, to not dwell alone, but he was in spirit. At that moment, he was dwelling alone. More spirits won't make it him be not alone.
Right.
He needs somebody to be there with him.
Amen.
Guess what? I'm that somebody. I'm going to be there with my Lord for eternity.
Amen.
Because he never wanted to dwell alone again. God's condescending thing. So I was looking at this, and I'm tying these things here, but that was the main purpose of it. I heard Brother Jeremiah mention that, and I said, I want to back up that with the scripture, because he had a lot of stuff he had to go through. So he couldn't stop at everything. But that was one little bump that I saw. I was like, oh, that's beautiful.
Right.
When you know that we're going to a body that's different than everybody else thinks. They overspirit. They don't even understand that the three realms here. So there's no way they're going to understand the three realms there. Unless you know what happens to these three realms, you won't even know how it's not even the real you. Okay. So over in Genesis, Abraham ate and drank with God. He ate and drank with God. That means the body that God took on could eat and drink. There's another precedent there. And I look at this here, and I'm going to turn over to Revelation 19, verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed. This is after Jesus had, you know, broke the bread with the disciples and told them that unless they eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that when he did that, that caused a bit of an uproar. That was the line in the sand for a lot of people. They were like, this guy's crazy. We're out of here. But he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. That means it's going to happen. Now what happens at the marriage supper? Let me turn over to Matthew 26, verse 27 and 29. What happens at the marriage supper? And this even helped me, the way Brother Jeremiah was bringing it, even helped me to read the Bible better. And he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many ancestors. But I say unto you, this is what he said unto them, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, that's wine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. It is true, people. We are going to eat and drink in heaven. I'm looking at this and I'm going, my goodness. And to the legalists, because there's people that are raised legalists. And Brother Jonas made mention to the people that we know, people that have been, some of us have been raised legalists. That's not a bad thing. It just has happened. But to the legalists, they want to say, oh, Fairborn wants to drink. No, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you to get drunk. I'm telling you that I'm going to eat and drink. Amen. It could be milk and honey. It could be calves and milk and butter. I don't care what it is. I just know I have a body to eat and drink. That's all I know. I don't have to presume. I don't have to guess. I don't have to make stuff up. I can just tell you that the Bible says I will be in a body, and that body will eat and drink. Amen. Jesus said these things are true. Jesus said, blessed are them that are at the marriage supper. He didn't just say the marriage meeting. He didn't say the marriage council. He said the marriage supper. He could have used any word he wanted. He said, we're going to have a meal there. And he said, not only are we going to have that meal, but we're going to eat and drink. And when I see you again, that's when I'll drink this anew. So all these things make sense. All these things tie together. We're fully loaded in here. We get so much word in here. It's ridiculous.
Amen.
You know, Brother Childers, you made a point there. You said, you know, if the man knows what he's talking about, he should be the one that talks the most. We know so much what we're talking about that we don't care who has to talk. I know that you know what you're talking about. I look forward to hearing it. I know that you know what you're talking about. I look forward to hearing it. We're so blessed here that God is just in everything.
Amen.
He's in everything. There's not a stale moment. There's not a bad testimony. These things come in here because we have been blessed, people.
Amen.
God himself has come down and blessed us with all these secrets that nobody else gets. Nobody else has what we have. Nobody else has the understanding. Nobody else has the balance. Do you know, to get to where we are right now in this point of the service, to say that we're going to be in a natural body, you have to understand everything else. This is not a one-off situation. I can't just say that, Brother Doug, you will have a body in heaven. Well, how? What part of my body will be there? Will it be this blood? No. Will it be my spirit realm that I'm going to remember all these horrible things? No. Brother Doug, it's going to be your soul. That's the real you. You have a theophany that's going to take the place of that spirit realm, and you have a glorified body that's going to take the place of this flesh. But guess what? God saw you like that before the foundation of the world, and my God is a God of variety. He didn't want every person white. He didn't want every person black. He didn't want every person tall. He said, and guess even how we even know more about it. He said, I want you to be in the prime of your life.
Right.
Why? You're going to have things to do. You're going to be having a good time. I don't want you old, groaning, and travailing. I want you to be able to run if you want to run. Jump if you want to jump. He said, I want you to be in the prime of your life. That's another scripture that ties back to the fact that I'm going to be in a body. All these things come together. All these things fit. And I just was just turned on by that one statement because it just starts lining everything else up. And these things that we get here, all of it just makes so much sense. So I was just grateful that God is just taking a moment and just making sure we're getting these things lined up. Because if there's a church of tomorrow, I need to know this stuff. I need to understand this stuff. I need to be able to break down what I get broken down to me to you. I can't do that if I got it wrong. I can't do that if I don't see the whole picture. And I'm thanking God that he's just giving me piece by piece by piece to add this thing up. So I'm grateful to be here. I love each and every one of you. God bless you, Pastor Moore.
That was perfect.
That was all right, James.
That was perfect.
All right.
You know, but because if you think about what Jay's talking about, and you can call this message the doctrine of the new body. They don't even know what he's talking about. Because what you got to understand, what Jay was saying is so true. You have to be able to see the whole thing. Because I was sitting there listening to him, and I was thinking that, you know, when we get our new body, there's a lot that has to happen as far as understanding between here and there. You have to understand, number one, the three realms. In order to understand the doctrine of the new body, you have to understand the three realms. You have to understand. And if you don't understand the three realms, you'll never get the doctrine of the new body right. You have to understand that you come here wrong on all three realms. That people don't preach. They don't believe that. You have to understand the changing of a soul. Because without understanding the changing of a soul, you'll never understand the new body. You'll never understand the three bodies. You have to understand that, like Brother Branham, he thought that we were a cloud up there floating around on clouds, just a spirit. He wrestled with that because his tradition taught him that we were going to be spirits. But in order for you to understand the theophany, you got to understand what it is, how it's used, when it's used, how it's effective. Because to understand a theophany, you got to understand a theophany does not eat. One of those bodies you don't eat with. So when you leave here, there is a tabernacle that you go to, but that tabernacle don't eat. And you got to understand that, because if you don't understand that, you will think you're leaving here, going to heaven, like Brother Childers said when we were talking about Lois and them. Y'all think Lois is over there with, Bob's over there with eyes, and Lois has got eyes. They're in a theophany. Now, in a theophany, can take on many different forms. It could be a human if you need to see a human, but it's not necessarily a human. It is a replacement, temporary house. Notice I said temporary. Because you got to understand that it is not your final dwelling place. You got to understand that when you lay this tabernacle down, you do have another one waiting for you in the heaven. But that's only a temporary house. You got to understand that. Or you won't understand what to do with the glorified body. You'll think you're leaving here and you got your body. But it is, they over there are waiting on another body. You're not even complete in your theophany. You're not even perfect in your theophany. You're not even satisfied in your theophany. Because you won't be satisfied until you move into a glorified body. Because until you get to a glorified body, you can't eat or drink. So that tells you a whole lot about the marriage supper. That puts that whole thing in order of what we get first and what we get next and what we get last. You can't go to the marriage supper with your theophany. See, there's an order to this thing. If you get the order mixed up, that's why you can't have your theophany now. Because your theophany is a temporary house that you go to when you leave this house. And Brother Branham said you can't have two houses at the same time. So you can't have this house and that house. But if I lay this one down, that's why Paul said, if I lay this one down, I got another one waiting on me. You know where it is right now in the mind of God? It's the same place my glorified body is in the mind of God. Because all that he called, he justified. All that he justified, he glorified. He's already completed and declared the end from the beginning, but it ain't in manifestation right now. Your theophany comes into existence at your new birth. Your glorified body comes into existence at the change. There's an order to this thing. Oh, my. So when Brother Branham was talking about that theophany, he was talking about a temporary house that we go to when we leave here. Because remember, you're dealing with an eternal soul. You're dealing with a part of God that has to have a house somewhere. It has to always exist. That's what makes it eternal. It existed before the world began. It'll exist when the world ends. And in order for it to keep moving, it's got to be in a house. It's never without a house. That eternal germ seed that Jay talked about, saying that God never wanted to be alone. When God said he never wanted to be alone, he was never again without a house. He first put a seed germ in this old tabernacle. And that old tabernacle, that old soul had to die, but it was a house that held the seed of God.
Right. That's the reason why these preachers had trouble.
They had trouble.
Right.
Because they don't have the doctrine right.
Right.
And they don't understand how the thing works. They don't understand how it even flows. God has not been alone for a long time. He has been in something, in a house, ever since the beginning.
Right.
Even though we got here wrong, he was there. When we leave this house and we lay this one down, he'll still be in a house. God will never be without a house again. He moves right into that theophany. And then when that theophany gets to a point where it's ready to eat again, you know what God's going to do? He's going to put some dirt around it. He ain't going to leave it. He's going to put dirt around that house that he's living in. And he's going to call that a glorified body. So God's already on his way back to never being alone. He's already fellowshipping with us. But he won't fellowship, and he can't eat with us again until we're at that marriage supper. And at that time, we will have a soul that comes from God, a theophany that takes the place of our spirit, and a glorified body that we can actually eat in. You understood it. You got it all straightened out that night. You got it all straightened out.
And nobody wanted it.
Nobody wanted it. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to hang on to their old thinking and try to make it match.
Yeah.
What God's plan was, and it won't work. That's why they don't talk about changing of the soul, but cleansing of the soul, and try to keep the... They take Brother Branham's quotes from Future Home and misinterpret that, and try to say that God's going to renovate the earth like he did you.
Yeah.
But see, that's not what Brother Branham was trying to say.
No.
He was trying to say that it's going to be made over again like he's done you.
Right.
But remember, you had to have a burning. You had to have a sanctification. You have to have justification. And that's just what the earth is going to get. It was justified. And it had its water baptism under Noah. The earth did. It was sanctified when the blood of Jesus Christ hit the earth. But it ain't going to be through until after that burning that's going to leave it neither root nor branch. That brother Jeremiah mentioned last week. When it gets that, then it's going to be renewed. And the very essence of the earth will be here because it's eternal. And that eternal part of the earth will be here just like the eternal part of you will always be here. And the eternal part of you is not your old soul, because your old soul was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come here speaking lies, and must die, because the soul that sinned shall surely die. See, you got to make all this run. If you can't make it run, get out of here. Because you know what? If it doesn't run, you got to let it go.
Amen.
And they don't want to let it go. They want to hold on to the traditions of men because it makes them feel like they got something to do. But I'm telling you, this ain't our plan. This is God's plan. God already saw me before the foundation of the world. He already called me, justified me, and glorified me from before the foundation of the world. The manifestations are just starting to happen now.
You've got to keep your three.
But you got to keep your three straightened out.
You've got to do it.
And when you get,
mess up,
and when you leave this earth,
the three changes.
It does change. And if you think when you leave this earth that you're ready for the journey, you're short.
Yeah.
That's only step number two. You're not going to be done until you get your glorified body. And when you get your glorified body, then he will be all in all.
Yeah.
Time will be no more. Satan will be done away with. The earth will be renovated again. And we'll all be God all in all then.
Right. See why I had a lot to say.
That's why you had a lot to say. Because it's a big story. And
the brothers
and Jay, and Jay was,
they couldn't place their threes right.
No, they couldn't get the threes. They couldn't get the body right.
No.
They couldn't get the comings right. They couldn't get the order of God's redemption, the coming, his coming again for us. They couldn't get nothing right.
Nothing right.
And they had everything all over the place. And by having it all mixed up, they weren't humble enough to die to their thinking. So rather than die to their thinking, they made another way. But it was still men's thinking. So Jay was right. These bodies, when we leave here, we've got some steps to make. But between now and the marriage supper, you got two more bodies to get.
Yeah. And you got to place them right.
And you got to place them right.
Are your measure to be wrong?
You know what? Brother Branham said it, and I think Jeremiah mentioned last week, says when you shoot that arrow, you start off wrong here. You might think, oh, it doesn't matter whether it's two bodies or three bodies. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, it doesn't matter if it's changing of the soul or cleansing of the soul. Oh, yes, it does. It makes all the difference in the world. If it's just cleansing of the soul, you got that old devil going to heaven. And he's not going to heaven because Brother Branham said he would have to be your brother. He's got to die. And his only way to get rid of that old nature is that God-given fire, God himself. Got to happen. Nobody will be over there that didn't have the fire burn out their old nature. No one. Brother Childers said it. More people will get the new birth after death. See why he said that? Because even the Old Testament saints, we don't know what to do with them.
You don't know how to write and divide the word.
They don't know how to write and divide the word. They don't know how to put eternal. Everybody that's going to be over there will have eternal life.
Right.
Yeah. Somewhere
along the line, it's got to come into manifestation. That's why Brother Children said more will get it after death than that they do in life. Because all of the Old Testament saints, none of them could get it until after Jesus came. Not one.
Even Brother Branham had a time.
Had a time with it. Because we're trying to get to make sense of it.
I passed him
thinking.
Up.
Yeah.
Now, let me say that. Him trying to get it, I passed him up. I got it when he was wrestling with it.
He wrestled, but when the angel comes.
That's hard to say.
When the angel comes and straightens it all out, you got to go with the angel.
Right.
And here we are. And like I said, we've been talking about doctrine for 2 months now, solid, straight.
Right.
And just skipping over the highlights of it. All these things are the reason why this church has been blessed. Because we got it right.
We don't know how.
We don't realize how much. That's why I said that sometimes field trips are good for you. Because you'll realize how much you have when you go out and see what people are trying to struggle with and call it salvation. It'll make you appreciate home. Come on, musicians. It'll make you appreciate what you got. It'll make you appreciate who you are. Now, come back Sunday.
Wow.
Expecting.
Wonderful.
Really appreciate that, Jay.
That's why more I had so much to say. Because I see how God showed me. I got on it when Brother Brown didn't even have it right.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yes.
You don't say much truth because you get in trouble.
You sure do.
You don't never pass the prophet up.
And they don't understand what you're saying when you say that.
Yeah.
Because in one sense you pass him, and in another sense you're standing right behind him. Because he hit the highlights.
Yeah.
That was all he was here to do, is hit the highlights. He didn't have enough time to, he didn't have 40 years.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough time to preach it like we can now.
I had to watch Brother Moore, in my early preaching, I had watched how I said it.
Yeah, because they didn't believe it. They didn't understand it.
They didn't believe it. They didn't want it. They thought I was false. And I'm declaring it right.
The whole time. The whole time. And because they didn't understand it, they couldn't get with it.
They couldn't get with it.
And what they did, rather than doing like Brother Branham said, put it on the shelf. Maybe you don't understand it. But if you don't understand it, just put it on the shelf.
That's right.
Until God reveals it to you.
Amen.
Rather than doing that, they would blast you and turn it down.
You know, we look at it now like, oh, it's nothing.
Right.
It was something back there.
It was something back there, and that's why I didn't want people tonight to even listen to Jay. I'm thinking, you know, to understand what Jay is saying.
Yeah.
To understand those three bodies, to understand actually what's being used, when, how, that's something that people don't have.
That's right.
Don't have.
They don't have that. And we are blessed to be able to have that.
Amen.
Ain't God good? Gives us so many blessings. We don't deserve this.
My goodness.
But he's blessed us with it.
That's the reason why, in a sense, I backed off. I wanted you brothers to go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I'd have just kept preaching it, maybe you'd have never lunged into it.
Right.
But when I totally get out, say it or else.
I'm a hands-on type of person. You know, when you got your hands into something, you're learning a whole lot better than letting somebody else do it.
Amen.
Right.
So you throw me in there, and it's like sink or swim. kick and stroke. You got to do it. You can talk about how to swim all you want. Wait till they throw you in the water. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. What do you say? God is, ain't God good?